Hey, welcome there, fellow maker. Welcome to Prop Live Q&A, your weekly, mostly weekly, prop and costume making Q&A session. I'm Bill. Today, we're going to dive into your cosplay prop technique questions. We've been out of the saddle for a couple weeks here, been on the road, went to Dragon Con, which was awesome. Keep waiting. Maybe I'm a tiny bit cynical, but I keep waiting for Dragon Con to disappoint, and it has not yet. This was our 7th year in a row, going to Atlanta, riding the MARTA with all our costume gear, and then partying for 4 or 5 days straight. We got to hang out in Atlanta for a couple weeks, go bug our buddy Harrison from Vulpin Props, got to meet up with some of our friends in some of their shops, and kind of see how people are doing their things down in Atlanta. It was pretty great, but we were also away for like 2 weeks, so things have been piling up, including the Q&A. We haven't done this in a few weeks, but here we are. It's Prop Live Q&A. We got the prop tarts in the chat right now, hanging out. We got a bunch of questions you guys have sent us, but we could use more. If you're watching live, or even if you're watching after the fact, you can submit questions whenever you want. PunishedProps.com/live. If you have a specific question about a project you're working on, you need help with something, you need someone to send you in the right direction, go on over there and submit the question, and we will answer it either on this show, if you're submitting it live, or on the next show. Another point to make, too, just to encourage people to go check out the Prop Tart page, our favorite people on planet Earth. If you have a question that you'd like to get answered in a more timely fashion, or something really specific, and you want to get a lot of people's feedback on it, then engage the hive mind and join the Prop Tarts. That's our fun page over here. This is our friends in the Prop Tart community. There's 4,000 people strong. So if you want to get a little bit of help in between episodes, head on over there. This guy, Billy, here is asking about 3D printers. He's got a specific budget. Lots of people jumping in with lots of really good information. Here's a crazy, awesome-looking Ragnaros costume that Jay made. Here's Claire working on her Zarya costume. Giant, awesome, crazy pants, cool gun. David here is working on some Destiny 2 armor. Very exciting. We just started playing Destiny. Mike Holos made a hat. So, yeah, Jonathan here's looking for ideas. So, yeah, if you're looking for ideas or you have questions or you want to show something off that you made, you want to get some feedback, head on over to the Prop Tarts of Punished Props on Facebook. Join the group. You have to be approved, but our standards are pretty low. So, you'll be able to go in there, hang out with a bunch of really cool, talented, and welcoming people in the Prop Tart community. Yes, Nerdy Views, we went over 4K. Pretty awesome. So, yeah, there you go. That's my Prop Tart spiel. Thank you, everyone in the Prop Tarts, for hanging out. You guys are awesome. You guys make all of this happen, and you're great. Speaking of Destiny 2, we've started playing Destiny 2, or you just finished the story last night. I know we're behind, but we were traveling. We were on the road when it came out. I haven't got anything really cool yet that I want to make yet. I still have a lot of kind of crap gear, but soon we'll probably play a little bit more tonight. Maybe I'll get something awesome. I got some crazy shoulder things that have like purple horns on them. I have kind of a World of Warcraft vibe to them. Not really, digging that so much. We'll see. We'll see. Something Titan or some hand cannons. You guys know I like the hand cannons. We'll see what we end up getting in the next couple of weeks as we dig through more of Destiny. But you can be sure that I'm gonna want to build something more from Destiny. Destiny 2. Kelton says, Light's Chosen, the handgun you start with. I can't remember which one that is. Iron E Productions is waiting for Destiny to come out on PC. And let me see, which one's Light's Chosen? I'm not finding a good picture. Oh, there's Hard Light. Brittany just got Hard Light last night. That's a pretty good one. That'd be pretty awesome to build. Do you have a P.O. box? Kyle wants to know. We do have a P.O. box. If you whisper me on Twitch, then I will give you the address for the P.O. box. So send me a whisper. Oh, here's the... Yeah, this is a pretty good... there you go. This is the one you start with. Our buddies at Freakin' Rad made that gun. Holy crap. Let me go find that. They did a template and everything. And Freakin' Rad. There it is. Boop. These guys made it. We'll link to this video as well. I'll throw it in the... now that the YouTube is new, I have to click the share button 3 times. That's how that works. So, there you go. Got a template and a tutorial to show you how to make the whole thing. So, thank you to our friends over at Freakin' Rad. Head on over there, check out their video, and go build your own, because it's pretty awesome. So, I got that going over there. We'll add that to the show notes so that you guys can play along. What was that called? Lights Chosen? I'll just say Destiny Gun. What else do we have? We are waiting for your guys' questions to show up. So if you have a question, please send it in. PunishedProps.com/live. One more thing I want to talk about before we get rolling, before we get jumping into your questions, is this helmet back here. There, this is the Tank Trooper helmet I've been working on for our low-budget 3D printer series. Oh, Traveler's Chosen. That's what the gun's called. Very cool. So this is all printed on the Anit A8 3D printer, the $150 printer that I've upgraded. It's all printed. You can see I've been doing some filling, and lots of filling and sanding. Later today, I'm going to coat all of this with XTC 3D. It really needs it, and then I'm going to have to sand it really, really nice and smooth. But it's coming together, and this part here is just kind of friction fit on there. Here, I'll show you. I'll show you guys what it looks like on my noggin. Ta-da! It's a little oversized. I'm okay with that. I'm going for more of a cartoony look. The rest of the costume will kind of follow suit. So it is a tiny bit big, but that's okay. That's all part of the plan. It fits really nicely on my head. There's a good amount of room in here. And it's coming together. I had some issues. Well, I may have a video for this tomorrow. We'll see if I get that finished in time. Some issues. The one last piece finally got printed, but it failed like 3 times. Of course, the very last piece I was printing failed a bunch before it was ready to go. But it finished up yesterday, and I got all the pieces put together. And I'm pretty stoked with how that's turning out. I really like the exaggerated features on this. Again, Aaron Farmer is the artist who designed this. And now I'm building it. So, there we go. Ta-da! All right, let's put that aside. Carefully. Very good. All right, so look forward to more. I predict 2 more videos. I'll do another one. Oh boy, I got dust all over myself. I'll do one tomorrow on the sanding and the assembly. And that'll probably do another one on the sanding and the painting. Yeah, so look forward to that coming up. Traveler's Chosen. What was the name of that gun? Awesome. All right, let's dive in and grab some questions. Once again, punishprops.com/live. It's a place to go to submit your questions for Prop Live Q&A. First one comes from Lumen Props. Do you have tips to glue a rigid part to foam securely? Having trouble with sheet metal details peeling up. What glue do you think would last the longest so it doesn't have to be repaired as often? So, one of my favorite websites, thistothat.com. Now, the challenge with this website is that their options are kind of limited. So, let's say metal, and the only foam option is styrofoam. So let's see what it says about that. Metal epoxy, JB Weld. See, JB Weld would have been my guess. It also recommends hot glue. So you might try hot glue first. You want to make sure you rough up the metal on the surface where it's going to bond. But what if I pick vinyl? Because they recommend Goop or 3M80. So Goop might be a pretty good option as well. I know that's what Evil Ted used to put shoes together, but I don't know. Apparently, it will work pretty well on metal. So there's a couple of things to try. Try hot glue. Try JB Weld, which I like a lot for gluing metal. And then Goop might be another good option. But if you're looking for stuff that will help you with adhesives, thistothat.com is the place to go. And it's just one of my favorite websites. So there you go, Lumen Props. Thank you for the question. Good question. Imagination Deformed says, isn't Goop to remove stuff? That is some a little bit of brand confusion there. There is Goop, which I have some. I can see in the room over there. Multi-purpose cleaner, but there's also Goop adhesive. And I wonder if it's two different. Yeah, it's two different brands. But this is what I'm talking about. Goop. This stuff here. The one with the warnings on it. So don't try and use the hand cleaner as an adhesive. It won't work. And vice versa. Definitely don't use the adhesive to clean your hands. That would be the opposite of what you're trying to make. Let's move on. We've got another one here from Elinion. What kind of different effects do you get when you use rub and buff versus metal, I'm sorry, versus metallic spray paint? Also, apparently, my Apple ID is being used to sign into a new device from Seattle, Washington. If that's Brittany, let me know and I will click allow. So, I haven't really used Rub and Buff very much anymore because I've kind of feel like I've graduated to using an airbrush for many things. Oh, hey, Brit, if you're watching, I've got a verification code you're gonna need. So come on down. It's on my computer. Since I use an airbrush for so many things, especially metallic finishes like all clad, I prefer to use that versus something like Rub and Buff because Rub and Buff is a metallic, or I'm sorry, a wax based. It's hard to top coat that. It's hard to put clear coats on that without losing the effect. It's also kind of because it's waxy, stuff can bead up on it. So if you're going to use Rub and Buff, generally I'll use it kind of sparingly and I will brush it on and then just leave it. And like that's it looks great. It looks super metallic, but that's just how it is, just as it is. If you have something more specific, what is floating in front of my screen there? Some sort of alien creature. If you have something more specific that you want to attempt, I would recommend an airbrush with all clad airbrush paints, which are magical and amazing, or maybe just some metallic acrylic paints like Tamiya paints. If you're going to use a metallic spray paint, really the benefit you get from having spray paint is you can cover a lot of something with one can. So if you have a whole set of armor instead of using Rub and Buff to paint the whole thing, which I've done before, by the way, I can't recommend it. You'd probably be better off hitting it with a spray paint can just because it's going to take a lot less time. But again, it depends on the specific metallic finish you're trying to get, you're trying to accomplish. Question two is, can you recommend any alternatives to Plasti-Paste for making a mold jacket? Yes, I can. In fact, we have a video. Oh, speaking of videos too, I forgot to point out we made a video at Dragon Con. I forgot I had this open. My friend Jackie Graf did my Old Man Logan makeup, which was really fun. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, head on over there. Spoiler, I screwed up focusing the camera, but it got better. And then I got turned into an old, crazy old man. So we got that going for us. Also, if you go to the Punished Props website or our YouTube channel, I should be able to find the mold jacket video. Come on, search. The new YouTube is messing with me. What was I gonna look up? I think it was the Hollow Mask, where we did an epoxy. Granted, this is a matrix mold. You could do the same thing for a brush-on mold, but we made it using epoxy and fiberglass. So this is mold, not mold, but epoxy coat and epoxamite. And if we scoot forward a tiny bit, well, I really kind of glossed over it. There we go. That's the epoxy coat. It's a thick epoxy. You brush on the surface, and then you put your, in this case, we use fiberglass mat cloth, and then we use epoxy mite. They're laminating epoxy to create the jacket. It's a really lightweight, really durable. You can see me using a chisel to get it apart. Super durable way to make a jacket. So anyway, that's the bleach hollow mask video that we did. It's not the best example of using epoxy coat and epoxamite. In fact, the what was the other one I did? Come on, Bill. Star Lord. Geez, the Star Lord helmet recently. I reinforced the inside with that same process, but you can do that epoxy laminating. Fiberglass process to make any kind of mold jacket. So there you go. There's your alternative to plastic base. I will say plastic base is super easy. Really, really easy. Oh, another thing people like to use, another smooth on thing is the freeform air. And it's similar to like freeform sculpt or epoxy sculpt. It's an epoxy dough. And the freeform air is light, which is really handy if you're making a mold jacket that you gotta hold while you're slush casting it. So there you go. There's some alternatives for you. And of course, too, if you go to the Smooth On website, they have their own videos showing how a lot of that stuff works. And they're really great about getting back to people on social media. So you can bug them over on Twitter or probably on their Facebook page. Awesome. Thank you, Elinian, for the question. That was really good. Let's keep moving here. I see a question in the chat. That's if you have a question, go to punishprops.com/live, submit it right there, and Brittany will throw it into my document that we have right here. Next question comes from Hollywood's Rose. I'm thinking about buying and building the Ultimaker original wood 3D printer kit. I was curious if you had any tips or advice for building a 3D printer based on your experience with the A8. Boy, I wonder what. I didn't realize that Ultimaker still sold those. Original wood. Ultimaker, what's it called? The wood 3D printer. Original Plus. That's pretty cool. There it is. Do they still sell it? They do! Look at that. You can still buy a wooden Ultimaker. That's awesome. Well, when it comes to putting together the 3D printer, I've assembled exactly one of them. So I would not call myself an expert. But you can go watch the video that we did. I predict you'll have a better time at it than with the Ultimaker than we did with the A8. But really just take your time. If you have those little trays, magnetic trays where you can keep parts in, like little screws and stuff. Those are really helpful. You can get those at your hardware store, like Harbor Freight. But yeah, really just take your time, read over everything. If you're not like keen on the lingo, then just read everything twice. And then there's got to be someone who's done a comprehensive video on YouTube. Showing how to put the whole thing together. And I did that with the A8. I found a video that someone did that was super comprehensive and really, really helpful because the instructions were not great. Yeah, if you look up original Ultimaker original plus assembly, there's a whole bunch of videos. There's Barnacles doing his thing, This is a time lapse. Here's a three-part series on how to put the whole thing together. You've got friends out there who will help you make your thing. Very good. Let's move on. Good question. And good luck with your build. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with that, Ultimaker. See a real quick thing in the chat there. Someone's curious if we do, requests for castings. If we send you the part we're having issues doing. No, we don't do that. But like I said, if you have questions about something you're trying to cast, something specific, then submit a photo of the thing you're working on in the Prop Tart group, because they're awesome, and you have a hive mind of 4,000 people who will help you find the right instruction that you'll need, help give you advice. They're awesome. So yeah, if you need help with a specific molding and casting thing, then ask the Prop Tarts. They're awesome. Let's see here. Let's grab, yes, Imagination Deform says, we are Borg. That's right, you are the hive mind. We all need Borg names now, I think. Let's see. That last one was from Hollywood's Rose. Good luck with your 3D printer. Next one comes to us from Jonathan. Do you have any experience using cool suits, ice packs, or sweat guards to handle heat while in costume? What are your thoughts on these products? I've never tried any of those. I saw the one that Adam Savage made for his fake spacesuit, and it was basically a suit that that circulated cold water around his body. It seemed to work pretty good for about half an hour. I plan, when I'm wearing a costume at a convention, I plan on only wearing it for a certain amount of time, not all day, especially like Lord Shaxx is just a sweat tube. I drink lots and lots and lots of water. I always have a bathroom plan, so I know I can go to the bathroom if I have to, but generally I'll drink tons of water and never have to pee, which means I'm sweating it all out. I've found that being warm is okay so long as I get lots of water. Personally, I know if my contact lenses start to get kind of sticky and want to fall out of my eyes, that means I'm getting dehydrated. That means I need to drink lots more water. And then I just don't wear the thing all day. So at Dragon Con, I wore Lord Shaxx maybe for like 3 or 4 hours. And after that, I was very happy to get out of it, and everything underneath was completely drenched. As far as I can tell, most of those like cool suits or ice packs or whatever, those things don't last more than like an hour, maybe. I mean, your body heat is just a force of nature. It's gonna nuke everything. So don't think you're gonna put that thing on and you'll be good to go for 12 hours. Have an exit strategy. And if you have to, you know, hopefully a con you're hanging out at has a cosplay lounge or something, and if you have to go, just take parts of your costume off so you survive, then do it. But definitely drink lots and lots of water. All right, Jonathan, thanks for the question. Next one is from Weeda. My latest brush on mold ended up too thin and has small holes in it. Tried my best to fix it, but now the silicone mold won't fit the jacket anymore. My original was in clay and was destroyed when I demolded it. Is there a way to save my mold without sculpting it again? Boy, that is a tricky one. So if the silicone is so thin, and this actually happened on that hollow mask. We have a couple of spots where it touched down, the jacket touched the master, and the silicone got so thin that it poked a tiny hole through. It wasn't so bad that we couldn't get a casting out of it. But remember that the only thing that will stick to silicone is more silicone. So you may have to, on the problem spot, you may have to, let's say, drill out part of your jacket, the jacket mold, and then patch so you have room to work, really, because you're going to add silicone to it. Mix up another batch of silicone. If you have Thyvex to thicken it, then that'll help. But then just sort of sculpt on some silicone to plug that hole. Now, that hole is probably going to be kind of ugly. It's going to be hard without the master behind it to sort of press against it to patch it with your silicone. It's going to be kind of ugly. That'll mean that the casting will be a little bit, need some work afterwards, but it's better than having a hole that resin will just pour out of. Again, not ideal, but I think doable, and most importantly, that's a mistake you'll never make again. Don't worry, once you made a couple hundred molds, you'll have it down pat. Just keep at it. Thank you, Wita, for the question, and good luck. That's challenging. I understand how heartbreaking something like that can be. So good luck. Nash has a question. This one is, how would you make an oversized helmet that doesn't rest on the shoulders? Would you make a smaller helmet inside the jumbo one? That might work. Something to consider, real quick, is that if the helmet is heavy, okay, if it's oversized and it's very heavy, you're going to have a hard time wearing that for a long period of time. It will, your neck will start to feel it. So if it's heavy, then you want it to rest on your shoulders. So if you're making something giant, you don't want it to rest on your shoulders. Make sure it stays light. So consider what a motorcycle helmet weighs. Don't make it weigh any more than that. You'll be surprised at how much it'll hurt your neck. As far as getting it to rest on your head, I think getting like a construction helmet, those have like a dome with like an adjustable strap system on the inside so that you can rest it down. I would build the larger helmet on top of something like a construction helmet. That would definitely help. You don't have to start from scratch. So your idea to build your jumbo helmet on top of a smaller one, it's a good idea, Nash. You're a smart guy. But again, consider how much that thing's going to weigh. Just keep in mind. If it's any more heavy than a motorcycle helmet, try and make it lighter. Okay. Good luck with the build. Thank you for the question. Let's keep moving here. Travis wants to know, what would you use to make a welded look? I was thinking of using hot glue to make the weld bead for a Dieselpunk set of armor. I've heard of people doing that. I've never done it myself. The thing with hot glue is it's going to be smoothish no matter what. And it's hard to sculpt while it's still hot. It's kind of liquidy. So you can get something that kind of represents a weld, but what I would do is I would use freeform sculpt or epoxy sculpt, which is, again, an epoxy clay, like a putty. And what you could do is basically just sculpt in your welds. Look at what a weld looks like. Welds. Just go to your Google image search. Make sure none of this is objectionable. These are what welds look like. These are really pretty welds, actually. Whoever's doing this knows what they're talking about. Or knows what they're doing. Here you go. This is examples of different welds. So see how the texture on that is really fine? That's what you're going to be going for. This is a good example. Oh, it's the smallest image. Why do people bother putting tiny images on the internet? That's really tiny too. Let's do this right. Let's go to large images. Thank you very much. There's a weld. That's a pretty good one. But it's like this overlapping scalloped texture that looks really cool. And that's what you're trying to simulate. So get yourself some little sculpting tools and get some epoxy sculpt and give it a try. There you go. That's a really good example. But again, you're really just objectively trying to say, you know, what does mine look like? What does the example look like? You could try and accomplish that with hot glue. Potentially fill in a seam with hot glue and then kind of maybe use your finger when it's still kind of hot. Carefully, very carefully, kind of chamfer that edge and then go back in with a hot tool maybe and kind of sculpt it a tiny bit. This is all theoretical. I've never done that before. I would probably just use epoxy sculpt. But that's just me. Anyway, I rambled on long enough for about welds. Good luck, Travis. And I hope that goes out pretty well for you. Did I see Core Geek and Hoku props in the chat? Thanks for stopping by, you guys. Let's see here. Foundry 13 says, how would you go about adding a diamond texture to your EVA foam armor and making parts of the Optimacy armor set from Destiny 2. All right, let me go find a picture real quick. I am a super visual person. Optimacy? This is finding many images. I'm not sure which one's which. Diamond pattern. Maybe, perhaps I spelled it wrong. Wasn't sure if I should freehand it or press a template into the heated foam. If it's supposed to look manufactured, then doing some sort of form that you can press into heat press into your foam is going to be really helpful. Especially if it's a repeated pattern. Is it this? I see this guy has like a diamondy pattern on his shoulder there. Boy, that would be really tricky to do in foam, because that's a full-on like three-dimensional diamond. And without sculpting that, I bet there's cloth. There's got to be like a diamond pattern fabric that would simulate that. Yeah. Like this upholstery. This is kind of close. This upholstery fabric here. Again, that's not perfect. What's this? Black suede quilted. So you may buy a fabric that's close and just use that. That might be easier. But kind of trying to sculpt that diamond pattern into EVA foam is going to be really tricky, especially because you need it to look kind of manufactured. That is, if this is what we're trying to... I'm guessing. I think that's the one right there. I think that's the one. Otherwise, you could... Yes, moldy pantaloons. That would be a nightmare to cut by hand. Let's just go crazy. Let's do another option here. What if you 3D printed a sheet of that, right? Sanded it nice and smooth, and then made a silicone mold of that, and then cast pieces in like a urethane rubber. You could cast the urethane and then lay fabric behind it and peel it out, and you'd have like a floppy sheet of that pattern. This one is a Titan one. I don't know which one that is. But either way, I think I've provided some pretty good information. Let me see. Titan. Is that it? Plate of Optimacy. That's a bad picture. That's a drawing. That's Mark of Optimacy. I don't know which one we're going for here. But if you're making that Warlock one, then all set. All right, cool. I'm going to move on. Thank you for the question, Foundry 13. If you can find a picture of that, post it in the Prop Darts group, and they will help you with some fun techniques because they're awesome. Let's grab another one here from Kelton. What airbrush needle size would you suggest for someone painting and weathering props? Okay, so here's the thing about airbrushes is that I've bought several of them, and I'm not really sure how big the needle size is on any of them. I just bought airbrushes I thought looked cool. There are definitely like... I would go with like a general purpose airbrush. So, for example, I was just watching a video Adam Savage did. Badger Airbrush. He recommended just a single action airbrush. I believe it was the three something. Nope, that's not it. Which one was it? 200? 350? Nope, not that one. 350? That's the one I just clicked on. 200. Here you go. These are single action airbrushes. This one's just a siphon fed single action airbrush. This is a good medium or general purpose airbrush. What size nozzle does it have? I'm not really sure. But what you'll find is if you really dive into airbrush, all the ones that are available, this one's a detail airbrush, and I predict this one has a much finer noozle size. We are definitely going into territory that I am less familiar with. But yeah, any general purpose airbrush that Badger 200, any of the Badger 200s would probably be okay. I have an Iwata Eclipse, and it's fine. I think the gravity fed one I have has a slightly finer nozzle tip though, and I will say that that thing gets plugged up pretty frequently. I don't do a lot of detail work. I do like lacquers and weathering and stuff. So anyway, Badger 200 be pretty good. The 300 or 350 is I think this is more like their kind of budget one. This is very similar to a really, really cheapo one that I have. But if you need to just blast paint on, that should work just fine. Okay, cool. This has been the Airbrush Hour with Bill. We'll try and leave links to all of those in the show notes. Copying and pasting those right now into the notes. Boop. There you go. And besides, it's the one that Adam Savage uses, so it must be good. All right. Spartan Bricks wants to know, I bought some Winsor & Newton oil paints, but I didn't realize that they were not water mixable oil paints. You think I'll still be able to use them? Sorry, I've never used oil-based paints before, so I'm pretty much clueless. Yeah, they should work just fine for weathering. I wouldn't color a prop with that. I will say, these are really cool. These books I have, these single model instruction books. These guys like using oil paints to weather their really cool looking models. This is from Rinaldi Studio Press, and they're fantastic. But yeah, they use their oil paints for weathering, and something they do is about an hour before they're going to do any painting, they'll dispense a little bit of the oil paint onto a piece of cardboard. That cardboard will actually soak up a lot of the oil. I believe it's linseed oil in the paint, leaving mostly the pigment behind, and that will help it dry faster. I can't remember why I got into the o water mixable oil paints specifically. My buddy Will Morgan, when he was in my shop for a while, he used them and they worked great, so I've continued to use them. But the normal oil paints will probably work just fine. Just try putting them on cardboard before you start using them for like an hour, so you get a little bit more of just the pigment. Hopefully they should dry a lot faster. But experiment. Whatever the ones you got, experiment with them, have fun, and see how it turns out. Let's see here. Next one comes from Volstag the Cannibal. Hopefully a friendly cannibal. What is the best way to reinforce the edge of a cast mask that's a little too thin? It's cast out of smooth cast onyx resin. You're in luck. I did exactly that. Earlier I mentioned the Star-Lord mask, and I reinforced it. It was the casting was a little thin. Oh, who's this guy? So I sanded the inside of it, cleaned up a lot of the edges. Let's keep going. This back part was a little thin, so I heated it up with the heat gun and kind of tried to reform it. Oh, you know what? I didn't do it in this video. Where's part two? There it is. Oh, did I just? There it is. Or did I? Cool. So, sanded the inside of it, got my epoxy coat, and brushed on a good layer of that. Mixed that up, brushed on a good layer of that. This sort of fills in all the nooks and crannies, gets everything prepped. And then I let that cure for about an hour, and then I used this fiberglass mat cloth, and I pushed it in there. Oh, I really kind of skipped all that. Tapped it in there. There we go. And then I went over that with epoxamite to laminate it, and that made this thing crazy strong. You can see there are shards of it sticking off. I had to clean it up quite a bit, but that thing is super, super strong. In fact, it was strong enough that originally it would fit on my head, and after making it more rigid with that, it wouldn't fit on my head anymore. So there's that. So epoxy coat, epoxamite, and fiberglass cloth. Yeah, you can see quite rigid. Whoops. Boop. There we go. More, a little more cleanup. And there you go. Yeah, super, super strong. And I know that happens sometimes if you're doing a brush on mold or a slush cast. Sometimes you don't get something all the way to the edge. Something else you can do that it may or may not work is you can sand the surface and brush on a little bit more of whatever you use to cast it. You said you used onyx. You could probably brush on. The problem is that once the urethane is cured completely, it may not want to stick to the, like a new batch might not want to stick really, really well. So I like the fiberglass thing. It works out really good. Great. Thank you, Volstag the Cannibal. Very good. I saw in the chat someone was throwing a question in there. Punishprops.com/live. That's the place to go to submit your questions. BioCosplay says, anyone else been playing too much Destiny 2? I think I've been playing the right amount of Destiny 2. Which is to say, I'm going to play as soon as I'm done talking with you nice people. Let's see here. Hawkeye Pierce says, I'm trying to 3D model helmets, but I'm having a problem wrapping my mind around some of the curves. Example, a Destiny Titan helmet. Do you have any resources that could help? I've just started using Fusion 360. So I have a go-to tutorial. Brittany found this. She used it for her Commander Holly helmet, and I used it for my Tank Trooper helmet. Autodesk, the people that make Fusion 360, have a great video series on it. I'm going to find it. Autodesk Fusion 360 F1 helmet. Yeah. So we'll link to this in the show notes. But you can see they've got a cool reference image. And what they've done is they've used the sculpting mode inside of Fusion 360, which I kind of like. I do like that in Fusion everything is very measured and precise. But the sculpting mode gives you more options to be a little more freeform. In this case, they're making basically a sphere, and then they can go in and modify it. This is a lot like subdivision surface modeling, if you've ever done that. But you kind of reform the thing to be a little bit closer to the shape that you want. You can see they're grabbing vertices, kind of drag everything around. And it's cool because it starts as a nice rounded three-dimensional form, especially for something like a helmet. If you can get a top, side, and front view of the thing you're trying to replicate, that's going to help you a lot. Something else you can do in Fusion is set up symmetry. So this, you can see when you model one side of it, the other side is updated, so everything is perfectly symmetrical. You can, there's a whole series. We'll link to the playlist in the show notes. You can add detail. You can be really picky about it. And I like working with this kind of workflow because you slowly add detail after getting the base forms blocked out. Which I find makes getting the outcome that you want a little bit better. Because if you rush to add details, then you got to go back and handle like way too many vertices. This is a really great method. And I like that you're limited. I'm sure you could probably like freeform add edges and verts the way you would like in Maya, but that's not obvious how to do that, which is actually kind of nice because it kind of saves me from myself. When I did a lot of 3D modeling, I would often rush and add detail, add edge loops, add verts, add all this stuff until it's just a crazy mess that's impossible to deal with. So to get your base forms and curves all blocked out, that sculpting mode in Fusion 360 is amazing. We've got this great tutorial. Brittany just linked it in the chat, which is awesome. Go check that out. And good luck, Hawkeye Pierce. And have fun. Thanks for the question. Dylan says, did you make a video of yourself getting rid of the beard? No, I was actually so after Dragon Con, I trimmed my beard down, as you can see. I wanted to I'll just show it to you guys, but I wanted to do a video where my beard grew really fast, and I recorded myself with a short beard going, "Oh, I'm gonna grow a beard," and I would go, "Her," and poof, my beard would show up. And I was like, "Oh, I recorded that months ago, and then I'll record a new thing now, and I'll line them up, and it'll look all cool." Problem is, there's a way easier to do it, way to do it. So instead, I recorded the second part first with me going, "Oh my God, my beard showed up," and the first part, I recorded the second part, and then I went, I trimmed my beard, and then I recorded the first part. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the beginning of this video, right here, where I don't have a beard, or I don't have a long beard, and then I put pepper in my face, and then I sneeze, and my beard pops out of nowhere. Look at that. So, in order to film that, I had to trim my beard. That's just kind of how it works. So, I did not film myself trimming the beard. I did take pictures. I was gonna like do a handle my mustache, and but my beard trimmer died halfway through it. It was kind of a mess, so that all went out the door. Anyway, this has been Beard Talk 2017 with Bill. Thank you for joining me. Let's move on. Should have shaved with the claws. Yes, felt and steel. I should have tried to shave with the claws. Got some claws right here. Mangudi wants to know, I'm having problems with warping on my 3D prints. How do you fill gaps between parts caused by warping? I've recently had to scrap a few builds because the material I used didn't come out right or downright ruined the project. Well, this one actually came out pretty good. The green that you see on there is a filler putty. It's the green acryl 3M putty. That's for like more minor gaps and stuff. You can fill in gaps with super glue. So mix up some super glue with some baby powder. It'll make a thick paste, and you can use that as a filler. You can also use Bondo. And if I had to do any more major fixes on this, I probably would use Bondo, but it came together pretty well. It really depends. I would use super glue or the spot putty if it's like a 16th of an inch wide, depending on how wide the gap is. If it's a really major gap, you're going to have to get something like Bondo or what's the other one? Evercoat. Evercoat's general purpose body filler is pretty good too. So there you go. And good luck. It's always a bummer when a print comes out. Like I mentioned earlier, the back part of that helmet I printed 3 times. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. The fourth one worked. So sometimes the other ones were completely unusable. So sometimes you just gotta dial in those settings and print it again, which is just kind of a bummer. Thank you, Mangudi, for the question. BioCosplay in the chat is looking forward to Beard Talk 2018. Damn straight. How about this, Sam? You start growing your beard, I'll start growing my beard, and we'll have a beard off at Dragon Con next year. Let's see here. Don't Shoot Girls wants to know, I'm making a Talon Skin Widowmaker cosplay. We got a picture. There it is. Very cool. All right, so that's what we're working with. The question is, I made those leg pads for our outfit with holes in them, but they have a black edge around them that I'm unsure how I should replicate. What would you recommend? Black edge. I would recommend getting your hands on some foam dowels. Folks over at TNT Cosplay Supply sell them, and they're really awesome. We and the folks over at TNT Cosplay Supply were at Dragon Con. We got to hang out with them, and they were super nice. And they make good foam. So if you look on their store here, they make these foam dowels. And there's a variety pack, and there's specific sizes. There you go. So what you could do is buy what the thickness you think you'd need and then trim it down the middle. So you have just a half round piece and then glue that to the edge of your piece. It's flexible, so you can wrap it around that thigh piece. That should help out. You could paint it or finish it or seal it the same way you'd finish any other foam. And super easy and super, super cheap. So like the they're $6 for a pack, and the 18 millimeter pack contains 8 dowels. I think that's a good That's a good investment right there for $6. While you're there, get more foam. You can never have too much foam. All right. We have just a couple more here. Let's dig through. Oh, Brittany. Lady Longshanks left a chat, question in the chat saying, or sorry, left a question saying, is it time for tacos? Almost. It's almost time for tacos, Brittany. I know that there's chicken taco meat upstairs in the crock pot. I can't smell it down here, but Brittany can smell it upstairs. And I'm sure that she's very excited about tacos. So after this, after Prop Live Q&A, tacos, Destiny 2. Taco Thursday. Last question. Let's grab this last one here from Belthazor. What's the best method for making foam armor rigid to hold its form? I'm using glue and a heat gun, but after 2 days, it starts losing its form. So if you have a flat sheet of plastic or EVA foam, right, and you heat it up and form it into a three-dimensional form, it will stay that way for a while, but it will kind of, especially if it gets warm again, it'll kind of ease back into a flat sheet. To get it to stay a complex curve, you're going to have to cut darts into it or cut a seam into it. So, for example, on the Mechanist helmet here, there's a seam down the middle. There's a seam. This top panel here is a good example. It's got a bit of a dome shape to it, a little bit of a curve to it. But this is two pieces. So there's one here, with a seam down the middle. Now, I've done an okay job of hiding that seam. You can still kind of see it there. But when these were two pieces, the edges were not straight. The edges were curved out. So when you glue those edges together, it creates a complex form, a complex curve. What that means is that you may have a part of your armor that's supposed to look like a nice, flat, seamless dome shape, but you're going to have to add a seam to it. So you're going to have to practice and get really good at making really clean seams and figuring out what sort of edges you're going to want to have to cut out so that when you glue them together, you make those seams create the complex curve. I hope all that makes sense. Look up some of Ted's videos. Evil Ted did some videos on making like shoulder armor. Look up the videos that I've done. I'm trying to think of a good example. I did a shield video. Yeah, I did a shield video a while ago where I show that kind of pizza wedge shaped pieces, but they didn't have flat edges. They were curved a bit. And those curves, when you glue them together, that makes those complex forms. That's one of the things I think that most newcomers to foam fabrication have the most struggle the most with, is getting complex three-dimensional forms out of a flat material. But just practice. You'll start to get it. You can practice in small scale with small pieces. You can make patterns. So if you, let's say you, your piece, you could sculpt it out of clay and then wrap it in foil and then duct tape and then make a pattern and cut it apart and then blow that pattern up with a projector or scan it and blow it up. That'll help you make a pattern. There's a lot of different ways you can do that, but nothing beats all the practice you're going to get. In fact, Evil Ted is in the chat right now. He's a wizard at this. He's the kind of guy who can look at a thing and understand if he draws two curves, how they're going to, what sort of form they're going to make when you glue them together. Okay, cool. Oh, Eonolith found some pictures for the Optimacy set. Yeah, go ahead and post those in the chat there. All right. That is all of our questions. Last question, Brittany. Wants to know if it's time for tacos. Yes, Brittany, it is time for tacos. Evil Ted, the Archmage of Foam. That's right. Alex wants to know what your hat is made from. This is cloth. I don't know fabrics. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out in the for the Q&A. It was great to be back. Great to be not traveling right now. Thank you guys so much for sharing your awesome questions. I'm stalling so that I can find this armor set. Is this like the starter set? I don't know. Anyway. Titan armor. Noble Constant. Shelter peace, mark of optimacy. There it is. That is kind of working. I forgot what the question was, but this is definitely some Titan armor. And I'm on board. It's pretty great. awesome. Cool. Thank you again, everyone, for hanging out with us. We will be back next week with more of your prop and costume making questions. Please submit questions if you've got them. Punishprops.com/live. Submit them throughout the week. And go join the Facebook group, the Prop Tarts, and go see what they've got going on over there. They're a pretty rad group of people. We think they're awesome. All right. That's all we have for today. Thanks again so much for hanging out on this edition of Prop Live Q&A. Keep being awesome.